Hi guys, welcome back to What's On Your Mind. I'm here today with Dr. Mona Vand, the modern pharmacist. Mona believes in a healthy lifestyle, not overfilling prescriptions. She is regularly featured in the media from NBC to The Telegraph to The Doctors, just to name a few. She teaches her methods to nearly 500,000 people just on her Instagram and over 2 million on across all of her platforms talking about beauty, health, wellness, and plant-based diets. She's someone I watch all hours of the day, and it seems like she has all the answers to all of my problems. So I'm so excited to talk to Mona today, but without further ado, let's get into it. Enjoy, guys.
Thanks, Mona. Thank you so much for being here. Why don't you say hi?
You are so kind. I'm so happy to be here, and thank you for following along, and I'm glad my content inspires you.
So before we go ahead and dive into it, why don't you tell us a little bit about how you got to where you are and what you really do?
Sure. I guess to give a quick background, I come from a Persian background. Both of my parents were born in Iran. I went to, you know, growing up, I guess there wasn't that many career options. Social media wasn't really a thing yet. So it was like doctor, lawyer, engineer. That's very Middle Eastern, like, yeah, career path, right? And in high school, I was like, I don't know what I want to do, but really I thought I liked science more. So I was like, I'm going to go to pharmacy school. And really with no real passion for it, it was just more so like, this is going to be a good job for women. You know, when I have a baby, I can work only a few days a week. So that was really my train of thought. And then I went to school, actually really liked what I was learning and was really interested in health. But then when I graduated, just really hated my job. So you go from like high school where you have summer breaks and Christmas break and spring, then you go to college and you have even longer summer break. And it's kind of like this stop and go. And then you graduate, all of a sudden it's like, this is your full-time job. Mm-hmm. You earn a week of vacation after like a year. They don't even give you, and you don't get summers off. You don't, you know, there's no Christmas. It's such a slap in the face where you're like, wait a minute, what? And mm-hmm. I had this feeling of like, this is not what I want to do. Like, how can this be life? You know, almost like a deeper feeling of like, is this really life? And this is what adults do. And I quickly realized that I needed to figure something else out. So I ended up working at Rite Aid Pharmacy for a year as a pharmacist and hated it, but then found another job at a closed door pharmacy for a few years and kept like switching. I was really trying to figure myself out. I was like, maybe I just don't want to walk into like a retail pharmacy, and which is fair, right? Like, that's not like the most inspiring thing every day. So then I got a different job, like, environment. And then basically, long story short, I realized that I wasn't fulfilled and I wanted to feel excited. I wanted to feel like I had something to work towards and be inspired. And I didn't want to do the same thing every day. I just had this like deeper spiritual kind of, without even knowing it, like, this can't be all humans are meant to do.
Right.
So that led me to basically where I am now, where my first thought was like, maybe I'll be the expert that goes on TV, because, you know, then I'll be like the Dr. Oz. And then when social media became a thing, I was like, oh wait, this can be a career in itself. So I started early on trying to just basically brand myself as a resource for people. Like, how can I be so valuable that people listen to what I say, want to like, you take my advice, trust me. And then from there I can leverage it.
Yeah. And I think you've done an amazing job. Obviously you had your YouTube for so long, and now with Instagram and socials, it really, the content really comes across and the message really comes through, which is so appreciated.
Great. Thank you so much.
Of course. I want to ask you a little bit. I know you touched on how you wanted to be excited to work. And I think that's a lot of what most people face in their day-to-day lives and their day-to-day jobs. It's daunting. And it's like, oh my gosh, I don't want to do this. Mm-hmm. So now what do you do to ensure that you keep excited throughout the day?
So I guess you would call like a full-time content creator, influencer. It's interesting because the first couple of years, it was like, this is my dream job. Like, I loved making content. And then, you know, it took 3 years. I just want everyone to know, like, I didn't make any money for 3 years. So I was still working as a pharmacist because I had to pay my bills. And I think especially now it's easy to just see people blow up on TikTok or Instagram and like, oh, I'm going to be an influencer and make money. But if you just go into it for the money right away, you're not going to have a sustainable brand, you know, like, people won't trust you. So you really have to build trust with an audience. Yeah. So after 3 years when like I got, I remember getting my first like really big amount from a skincare brand that I was already using. And I it was like, this is a dream come true. So I was excited. But then after a few years, something started feeling off and I was like, I don't feel fulfilled. And then I was feeling this guilt of like, this is what I always wanted. How can I not be happy right now doing this?
Right.
And
yeah,
that's when I took a long break. I took like almost a year off social media, which was really sounded absurd because that's how I make all my money. And I, you know, I just decided to take a year off and came back and I realized that I felt like I wasn't, I guess, living my truth enough. Sometimes I felt like I was just, I guess I wasn't putting out as authentic content as I wanted to. It felt a little too how to, which served me for a while, which is great. At first I was really into like, I'm going to teach and I want to like show people step A to step Z. But then I realized I wanted to do something different. So I've adjusted. And I think making sure that you're always aligned with what you want to do, because what serves you at one point might not serve you anymore. So it was just a small adjustment. And now I'm more inspired than ever.
Yeah. I think that's really important too. Like we forget that we change as humans. And I think oftentimes it's like, I shouldn't be changing. I shouldn't do this. This yes. is the way one thing was. So it has to stay that way for the rest of my life. When in reality, that's just not how we work.
Not at all. And I noticed from a lot of my followers that have immigrant parents, we all have this thing in common, right? Because it's like our parents and it's the best, that's all they knew. You know, right. they want us to have the best life because they had to come here and work so hard to give us this life. And they're like, go to get your education. This is what's going to ensure happiness. But we're like, no, we know what's going to ensure our happiness. Like that's not the same, right? So everyone can really relate to that. It's different for us than it was for them.
Right. And it's like the sense and that notion of happiness is not as prevalent in their lives as it is in ours, right? Like we're killing ourselves on a day-to-day basis, but there is this overlying factor, like we need to be happy.
Yes. And to that, I don't know if you've ever seen me or heard me say this, but I remember my mom, or it was my mom or dad, they both said, no one likes their job. You just make money and that's what makes you happy. And I remember like, when you're young, you believe everything your parents say, because that's the only, you know, and I mean, now maybe with social, we can have a role model that we've never even met, which is great. Exactly. You know, we have mentors, so that's good, but there is more to life than work. Like you have to be happy.
Exactly. Exactly. What was the point where you knew that you could ditch not ditch it completely, yes. but like you could avoid it and you could make this your full-time job?
So the first big deal I got was, I remember I made $30,000, which is a real number. And, and it went from, it was actually interesting because that was a really, but it was for like a 3-part event I was doing with this skincare company. And I remember like wanting to leave right, but I was like, no, this is not going to last. So let me, you know, first I got really excited with that. Then I, got signed with an agency to represent me. So I had a manager. And then once I started like a couple months into that, when I started getting consistent deals and I knew that they were going to, I was like, okay, now I can leave the pharmacy. But the first couple deals I made, I still, you know, I wanted to make sure I went from having a salary where it was like, I'm always going to make this to not knowing what I'm going to make the next month. It's a scary jump.
It is. And I'm sure there are those like ebbs and flows in it now too, because like seasons and everything. So how do you deal with that now as well? Cause I'm sure it like flows.
It's, you know, I'm in such a different position now, which I want to like make sure everyone understands. Like I'm 37 now. I, when I was 26, even like right out of college, like I didn't have the flexibility that I do now to be able to say no to things and take breaks. So you have to find a balance and obviously like support yourself. But if you like really think long-term, like I would say, try to make less money up front so that you build your audience. So right now it's really interesting how it ebbs and flows. Like, I mean, I got an offer for like 3 times lower what I was making last year when I have more followers and better content, and some brands just don't know, or it's their budget. And I said, no. I was like, I'm not. And then, you know, lo and behold, a few months later, you get what you ask for and what you put out to the universe. So I think you have to not give in and what you know you're worth, and you know, it will ebb and flow, but hold out, because I believe just not diluting your brand, you know, like,
yeah. And that's also so important, because often it's like, we're so desperate to pay that bill, but you are worth something too. And the respect that you have to have, that you have for other people, you have to have for yourself too.
You do. And like, I know, remember, right. I decided to do everything in-house now. So I'm not with my agency anymore, but they were so great to me for a few years. And I remember when I was like first about to take a break, I was like, I want to increase my rates. And they're like, what you're following is like brands are just not paying this. And I was like, well, then I won't take it. And then a month later, they ended up offering their offer. So you can't all, if you just know inside like what you're worth, you have to really put it out there and believe it.
Yeah, totally. Did you personally though ever struggle with imposter syndrome when you started all this?
Yes, I still struggle with it today. Like it creeps in all the time. It's such a common thing. I'm so fascinated by it because you'll think you're past it and then something will creep in, but now, you know, I'm like, wait, no, come back. And I always bring myself back. I think whatever mindfulness work you can do, I mean, meditation has actually changed my personality and my life. So when I feel myself getting back, I'm like, okay, let me do longer meditations. Let me go back and watch the things that inspire me and like remind me how powerful and smart and amazing I am. So you have to bring yourself back to that, but it's such a common thing. And I would say most people experience it, even if they don't show it.
Yeah. And what you said about like it creeping up is so true. I swear sometimes I go into things. I'm like, you know what? I was always good at this. It's going to stay great. And I'm like, oh no, it's not great anymore. Yep. Wait, what happened?
And you have to also remember, not like if you're a content creator, if you're in business, not everything. I feel like we think that success goes up this like slow ladder. I feel like we think success goes up this slow ladder, but it will be up and down, up and down. So on the downs, like those are normal. You have to learn how to brush those off and just know it's everything's temporary and you're going to be high and you're going to be low. And it's just going to be like that your whole life.
Yeah. There was one night, actually, I was like so happy and I was like, it was great. And then the next morning, I just remember completely crashing. It was like, whoop, like completely downhill. I was like, oh my gosh.
Just your mood, just your happiness.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That happens and it's okay. And I think when not, I really used to be the type of person that was like, oh, I've done all the work. Why am I feeling bad today? I should always be happy. Why am I having this moment of weakness when I've done so much to build myself. And like, that's the actual part. That's the work, like not judging yourself. Right. You will always have those moments because we are human.
Yeah.
You know, unless you're the Dalai Lama, like truly, like, and you're fully enlightened, which most of us are, you know, we will have work our whole lives.
Yeah. Yeah. You touched a lot on spirituality. And I know that it's obviously had like a big thing in the last couple of years with social media too, but I want to ask you personally, what are your spiritual practices?
So I didn't grow up religious. My family's Muslim technically, but like, you know, they didn't practice, like it was nothing. And then, you know, my parents divorced when I was young and they both remarried American. So it wasn't something. And I went to school in a very all American, Caucasian, like, you know, I was like one of three ethnic kids in my school.
Wow.
So I wanted to fit in and belong so badly, you know, like I was not, I didn't feel like I fit in with the Persian community when I'd go to LA or the Caucasian community. So I was right in the middle and most of my friends were Catholic or Christian. So I would almost like, I remember wanting to go to church with them because I just wanted to feel, you know, I wanted to be in the club of like something. So I've always believed in God, but never had like any like sort of organized religion. I'm like, there's something up there. I don't know. It wasn't until I really got into meditation. And I guess I started, strangely enough, like physically experiencing energy in my body. And I think we know, you know, there's always like, oh, this person has good energy or bad energy, or my energy's off. But like, I think when I really learned the science of like, oh, we're actually 99.9% energy and one, you know, or 1% matter. When you go down, if you actually, this is actually physics. When you go down to your cell, what's your cell made up of? An atom is just energy. It's not like a mass. So your whole body is made up of energy. It's actually so interesting. And there's a field around you can actually measure. And I think once I learn the science of it, I was like, wait, this is actually real. This isn't just like hippie, like, you know, like anxious practice. This is real stuff.
Real.
So that was my key in. And then now really, I'd say my spiritual practice is just, there is a higher power. And I think we're all connected. And I think it's within all of us. And so every time I meditate, I try to connect to like my soul versus like my brain, you know, like what am I actually feeling? And I believe we all have spirit guides. And when you ask for signs, they'll give you signs. So I'd say I'm very spiritual at this point, but it came from a scientific background because that was my,
that's you.
Yeah, that's me. That's what it takes for me to believe it. I wouldn't believe the psychics and the woo-woo stuff until I was like, okay, this is fact.
And it's also so interesting to me how they knew kind of this stuff so many years ago, especially religions that are so rooted in it. It's like, what did they know that we don't? That's what they knew.
It's because they weren't clouded. Like, you had to go off your intuition. There weren't other things like technology, right, to get you there. So it was like, all we had was like going by the moon and the stars and our intuition. Like, think of how animals survive and breastfeed and know, you know, I mean, if for anyone who's questioning spirituality or interested, one thing that will really help it lock in is watching animal shows, which sounds really weird, but I'll watch these. I was never one to watch Animal Planet. Like, my dad loves it. And I'm like, oh, this is the most boring thing. But now I watch on Netflix and these like bugs, and they know what to do. Like, they come out at a certain time of night. It is fascinating. You're like, we're animals, right? Amazing. It's intuition. It's amazing. Yeah. It makes you believe in the universe. You're like, okay, this is so interesting.
It is. And honestly, every time I see a bug or like even cats or whoever, like they come into the street, but they run, they just know. And I'm so, even ants, like the tiniest creature you could ever imagine, they just know. And they pick up this big thing of like this crumb of bread and they're all carrying. I'm like, how
do they know? They know to build their little homes. Like, how do they know? Like, even my friend's dog is very smart, and only once in a while, someone will walk in a room and she'll growl or run into the other room. They say nothing. And I'm like, okay, an animal can feel it. They just don't question it. We question our intuition all the time.
Yeah. That's
such right. We don't trust it.
Yeah. And I think that's also the problem. It's like, why aren't we trusting our intuition? Why aren't we taught to trust that intuition?
And I love that conversation is being really opened up now, because your intuition will tell you. So you have, it's just learning, is this my intuition? Is this a fear? Like, I should trust myself when other, even if people are like, no, and you're like, no, I have this feeling. Like, you know more than anyone else, even when it comes to like diet, health, everything, like listen to yourself.
Mm-hmm. So how did you learn to follow your intuition? Cause I think to each his own too.
I'm still learning, you know, like it's a path I'm on. And I think, I mean, I would say it's even pretty new for me. Mm-hmm. I was very, I had a really hard childhood, and I never even realized it until way later in life that it was, because I think it's not something that was talked about. Like, you know, my parents, me and my brother lived in Iran for a year when I was like 3 and he was 5, while my parents were going through a divorce. And we had never met our family. We're like across the world, uprooted without our parents.
Wow.
And we lived there for a year. Then we come back with no explanation. And then my dad and brother moved to LA and I lived in New York with my mom. So we grew up separate. I saw my dad and brother like 3 times a year. That's why LA was always so special to me. And I always thought I would end up living there. Now I'm in the city, but I didn't even realize that there was any trauma. You know, it was nothing I ever talked about. And I think, like, you know, everyone has their own story and everyone has things that like in those few years might've like changed or shaped you. But I think I just locked up so much and never really trusted myself and never really trusted other people. So it took me later in life to realize, like, now I've worked through so much of that. And I think just recognizing, like, okay, I went through this thing. Let me unlearn all the things that I did for survival. And now I'm like learning to trust my intuition.
Yeah. That's so fascinating. I mean, I listened to your podcast, I listened to it all. And that's one story that I haven't heard. And so that's amazing. And thank you for sharing that.
Yeah. You're welcome.
Cause I think a lot of times we are kind of blinded by, like we were talking about, like our own ration and our own thought.
Yep.
What were the things that maybe not you asked yourself, but how did you really realize that that was trauma and not necessarily a peachy perfect childhood?
So I started getting, you've probably heard of my gut health issues if you follow my content. This happened, I guess it was like 30, it's been like 4 or 5 years now. All of a sudden, I didn't even know what bloating meant. Like I had great genetics. I guess I would never even, like, I didn't understand. all of a sudden I would eat anything and it would look like I was pregnant. Like if you knew the amount of people in my YouTube videos who have asked me if I'm pregnant, because there was a period where I was like, what is this?
Wow.
And so for 2 years, I was going to functional medicine doctor, this doctor, trying these crazy diets, doing every test under the sun, couldn't figure it out. So finally I saw this doctor in New York. Actually, he's an ear, nose, and throat doctor. He's extremely spiritual. And he's like, you know, I'd recommend trying trauma therapy or emotional, like, and he basically set me on this path where he made me think like, is this emotional? And then as I started talking to more functional medicine doctors, I was like, maybe there's some kind of blockage. And that's really what led me on this path, honestly, that and COVID. And like, I was like, wait, I didn't even know this was a big deal. You know, I had gone to therapy, but it was always about like a boyfriend or like current life. I never really thought.
Right.
And my mom, you know, she did her best. Like she was like, I always tried to distract you with friends coming over so you wouldn't miss your dad and brother. And I'm like, of course, that's not going to replace this big thing, you know? So I think I realized it later in life and then just started digging in and it led me down this spiritual path.
That's awesome. And it's what's really fascinating to me is seeing the spiritual doctors, because the science and the spirituality together, they know something.
It's my favorite when it's combined.
Right. Because it's like, that's how you know, because it's backed by science too.
And it's funny because I went, the first functional medicine doctor I went to, his name is Dr. Lekos in LA. And he was the first like functional doctor. And I remember him being like, what's your self-talk like? At this point, I had no spiritual practice. Like I was always like criticizing myself. And he was like, how do you talk to yourself? He's like, oh, you can't do that. And I remember him being like, listen to these meditations. And when you're listening, I want you to like picture good emotions and then picture your gut healing. And I was like, what is this guy talking about? This is an MD. And I was like, hey, whatever. And now I'm like, there's so much truth. I just wasn't ready to hear it, but there's actual science showing how much this all affects you and like actually visualizing healing and feeling positive emotions. So I'm just so much more interested in this type of health now. It's fascinating.
That's so fascinating.
Yeah.
I'm going to go after this and do some gut health healing meditation because that's insane. Like never have thought about the fact that it could actually just be as simple as sitting there and being like, no, it's fine.
It's that, but you have to also believe it and feel this is why positive thinking doesn't really work. So actual science has studied, like they've watched the cells and you can see how cells change and DNA changes when you do this. You have to feel a positive emotion and also think of like whatever you're trying to visualize. So he had told me this and I didn't understand, but years later when I like read the research on it, I was like, oh, right. He had said that. So it's almost like do anything to make yourself feel happy. Like picture something in the future that you want, picture like a moment that makes you really happy, get your body to feel it and then think about it. And it's that combination. You can't just do one or the other.
Do it. You have to believe it and you have to feel it. Without the emotion, then nothing will come, which also makes a lot of sense because I'll stand in there and be like, you're beautiful. And then I won't believe it.
Yep.
But you have to really feel it, but I'll put on a little bit of makeup and I'll do my hair and then I'll feel it. And then I'll believe it too. And then that's when
And when you think a negative thought, like instead of being like, oh, stop thinking it, just literally talk to yourself like, okay, that's interesting, but that's not true. Actually, I'm amazing. And just like, that's how you negate it in your mind. And, you know, for anyone listening to this, who's not, I guess who is new to this world, I know it might sound a little out there, but it is really real. So like, truly, like I'm a girl who comes from a very Western science background. So this was weird for me too, but I promise you it's real. Like I've seen it work.
Yeah. Yeah. What were the things that you learned, not necessarily just about yourself, but about the world after experiencing this kind of shift?
The biggest lesson that I think has like just fully shifted my view of the world is learning. They've done studies on this that 99% of what you see is perception and less than 1% is reality. And it sounds really weird. You're like, obviously I'm seeing like this building, but everything is how you perceive it, which is why like you're walking down the street and you see a dog and you're like, oh my God, it's so cute. And someone else sees a dog and thinks about when they got bit by a dog and, you know, thinks it's bad and looks, you're actually, you know, so when you realize that's true, you're like, I can just change my mind about everything and my whole life will be changed. So it's changing your perception. I was getting microneedling yesterday, which is why I couldn't wear makeup for this podcast. And I'm getting microneedling and they're going on my forehead and it's really painful on the forehead because you don't have as much like fat there.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm going to tell myself this doesn't hurt. Like this is just a sensation. And I swear the pain was better because I decided like, this is just a feeling. This isn't pain. And you can change your mind about things.
Huh. Yeah. That's so interesting. And it's also so interesting how we like denote certain words because okay. Technically pain can manifest in like a touching sensation, but a feeling is pain. So why do you have to say pain as opposed to feeling?
Oh yeah. All the words you use, like, have you heard me say like, my little sunspots, I only call cuties now. So basically this is technically melasma or sun damage. And I was like, I'm not going to talk negatively to myself anymore. So now I call them my cuties. And even my boyfriend, my best friends, everyone's like, don't be, oh, your cuties are fine. Like,
I love that. Finding that support system too, who encourages that growth, I think is really important because some people will just be like, what are you talking about? Cuties, they're sunspots, you know, like put that down.
Oh my God. I couldn't agree more. If, you know, if there's anyone in your life who's like, for example, my brother, he's not there yet. And he's just like, he like laughs at this stuff. So I don't share it with him because I'm like, I mean, luckily I'm not affected by it, but if I was in high school, my parents are like, what are you talking about? That would be hard.
Right.
So I love that like the people in my life are supportive and on the same path, but you know, just share it with who's going to support you.
Yeah, definitely. Well, we talk a lot about how the entire body is connected. And when your mind has healed, your gut heals, right? So yes, you have the science aspect, which we can touch on, but how did you find your gut healed after you really changed your perspective and your mental health?
It's still not healed, to be honest with you. Like, which I think, there's two things. It's definitely going in the, like there's, this is the first time I've seen a little bit of difference, but I still feel like it's a long path. And I think this is one of the biggest lessons in it all where I'm like, I really believe everything is here to teach you something, to bring you, you know, to help you grow. And I'm like, this is just my path right now. Everyone has stuff. And I think not like demonizing it and not making it like I was making it the end of the world. Like, I eat anything and I look bloated. I can't wear my, like the stuff I'm used to wearing. So I think my perception on it has changed and I'm just like, it might be a long path. So I'm still working on it. And it's actually why I'm not vegan anymore. I used to be vegan. Yeah. And, I realized, you know, it's almost like when you are trying to deal with something health related, you will try anything after you've been, you know, years, you're like, I'm not going to judge myself. And adding in some animal protein and fat has been one of the biggest helps, to be honest. So I might not be on this path forever, but I'm just like, this is maybe what my body needs right now.
I knew that. And then I still was like hearing you say it, I was like, wow, because all your content's like vegan, you know, I look
at
old stuff and it's like vegan, plant-based. And now I find it like, that's really interesting. So tell us about that switch. Why did you decide to make that switch? Because so many people are going into it and advocating for it.
Which is not
for everybody. So
I loved it. If it was fully preference, like I love vegan food. I think it's so delicious, satisfying, everything. You know, it had been like a year and a half or 2 years of trying everything. And and so many doctors were like, this could be irritating your gut because sometimes a lot of the vegan food that's very high in fiber or high maybe in lectins or like beans and legumes, like where you're getting your protein was all things I had to start eliminating to try to figure this out. And I'm like, there's nothing left for me to eat. Yeah. So I couldn't just live off of like fruit and salads. Right. So I started adding in fish and animal protein and right now it's working for me. If it was based on taste, like I would love to be vegan.
Yeah.
But you know, I also realize this is not my whole life.
Yeah.
Like sometimes, you know, if this is another year or two of experimenting, but the hardest part, you know, I haven't even really done a whole video on this because people have asked me and I really want to share it more thoughtfully, but judging myself was the worst part. Cause I was like, oh my God, like I want to be vegan. Like I feel so guilty eating this. And then I was afraid people would judge me. Like all my YouTube content was vegan content. So that was hard. But now I think meditation really helps you just like you're doing your best. If your intention is good and my intention's always good, then I feel fine.
That's great. That's good. And it's also what you're doing for yourself. Cause at the end of the day, it's not really about everybody. And that judgment, I feel like also like what we were saying before with the intuition, it's like a residual effect of what kind of everybody wants. And that's why you're judging it.
Another thing when it comes to wellness or health or skincare, what works for you at one point might not always work for you. So don't, yeah. If you have to change, it's okay. Like your body's changed. Even women, like once you get to like your 28, 29, 30, like your hormones do change and yeah. Maybe you need different things. So, and you know, when you're younger, you can also probably handle a lot more, you know?
Yeah.
Right. So it's like, yeah. Oh, I can eat any diet and I'm fine. But then when you, maybe you have to switch when you get older, keep changing. Maybe when you're pregnant, right? Like your body might be telling you like you want this when you're pregnant. And mm-hmm. I think you just have to listen.
I want to touch a little bit. Somebody had mentioned it in your comments, finances. And I thought that it was a great topic to introduce into this episode. Personal finance, I know, is something that is gaining a little bit more traction. I personally am a junkie for it. So somebody had asked a great question. I'm going to just ask it right here. How are you managing your finances or personal finances? And you don't have to go too much in depth. You don't have to like whatever you're comfortable with, but.
You know, I just want to be so honest here. This is my weakest point. I'm really not good at managing finances. I think one thing I did, because I was so used to working salary where they would take out your taxes. So it was more like at the end of the year, you got a check back, you know, when you're on salary. When I switched to just working, you know, obviously job per job, Erica, my best friend.
Yeah.
She grew up, her parents are very financially savvy and like taught her to be. Mm-hmm. She's like, it's so funny. She's definitely frugal, but she always like, she will have rent saved for a year. She's never stressed. Yeah. Like, and she always, like, she's like, it's so cute. But she taught me, she's like, you need to take out 40% of every check you make, which is definitely more conservative, but it helped. And she helped me. So what I did was make a separate account that was just for my taxes.
Oh, wow.
And every time I got a check, I would take out 40% and put it in there. And then at the end of the year, it was almost like I got a little bonus because it was never obviously 40%. I wasn't making enough to pay that high. So that was one thing that really helped me. But budgeting has always been really tough for me, honestly. It doesn't come naturally to me. And I think I didn't really learn it. So I would say always like making sure you have enough. Like I think having 6 months of rent is just the most like safe feeling, you know, like I like not feeling stressed. When I was working as a pharmacist, it was very paycheck to paycheck because I was paying all my student loans so high and it just wasn't a good feeling. So I'd rather like, you know, live like I'm making less and have some saved.
Did you ever deal with like money anxiety or?
Yes. You know what I realized? My mom is very, anxious around money, where it was always like, oh, we can't afford that. We can't afford that. Even if we easily could. But I learned it was her mindset on it. And I think it kind of translated to me because I remember like always saying to my friends, like, I can't afford it. And they were like, what do you mean you can't afford it? Like, and then I was like, why am I saying this to everything? And so I think putting like, honestly, the separate account thing is really good. Cause it's just like, you don't touch that account. You don't have to worry about it. You know, it's just, I feel like when it's in my account and I'm using my debit card, I'm always like, am I going to take out from this? So that really, really helped me. And, you know, I think, you know, when you're younger, those things are important. I've definitely, like, I feel more comfortable with it now, but that's what helped me.
That's awesome. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. What is one thing, if you could go back and talk to your 16-year-old self, you'd say to her?
To love yourself and have more self-compassion.
What are things that you do on a daily basis to ensure that you keep sane? What is the best and worst advice you've ever received? That's kind of like a two-in-one, but.
Yep. Love my parents, but the worst advice I ever got was that no one likes their job and just do something to make money. And I think the best advice I ever received, that's a hard one. Let me think. There's been so many things that have helped me, I would say, with good advice, but, I guess just to be authentically myself.
Mm-hmm.
to not like, there's a lot of times where I feel like my natural state was to like always over, like not lie, but kind of like make sure I would say, I don't want to say the wrong thing. Like maybe I should fake it till I make it maybe. And yeah. I think, I actually have to give my boyfriend credit for this because he's like, what you are is always the right answer. It's always like, don't be scared to say anything. Like everything you say is okay. And it's so freeing. And it also tells yourself that you're good enough. You don't need, because really when you're lying, you're like, well, the real answer isn't good enough. So I'm going to have to like embellish.
And I think we also like tend to walk around what we want to say. I'm guilty of it. I struggle so much with being direct and saying the thing point blank, which can just, and does just gives you like puts you in a circle and you end up in a worse position than.
Yes. Oh my God. Before. The amount of like holes I've dug myself in because I didn't want to hurt someone's feelings off the bat. And I've committed to like, I'll commit to like 3 dinners in a night because I don't want to hurt feelings. Then I'm like, what am I doing?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It's so funny. So yeah, just be direct.
Direct and transparent.
And like, direct and kindly.
Yeah.
It's all in your delivery.
Right.
Just be honest.
Right.
Yeah.
So follow-up question. How do you deliver when you need to be direct?
So I've learned to literally, this is the easiest and best advice. Say exactly what you're thinking. Like, just be fully honest. Like, let's say you asked me to have dinner and I was like, oh, she's been asking me for weeks and I keep canceling on her, but I already had this dinner. I would say yes. And then have to get out of it. I'd be like, hey, like, I'm so sorry. I know it seems like I haven't like made time for you. You're so important to me. And I really want to, I have these other things committed. Like, let's pick a date in the future. Like really just tell the person how you feel. Like, be kind, share your feelings, you know, be vulnerable, and it works.
Yeah. Yeah.
It okay. works.
I love that. Thank you.
Yeah. You're welcome.
One last question. What is a mantra or a mantra that you live by?
I would say, I don't know if this is technically a mantra, but I guess a theory I live by is my biggest goal in life is to be joyful and happy in anything I do.
Thank you. I love that.
Yep.
If there any last things you want to say?
Last things I want to say. I would say to just like things in life are not black and white. You know, like you might think everything's supposed to go a certain way. And like, if like this is bad and this is good, it doesn't always work like that. Things are gray and you have to like look at every situation differently. And one that I love is it doesn't have to be one or the other. You can do and. So you can, yep, you can like science and spirituality. You don't put yourself in a box. Just allow whatever you're drawn to go towards.
And I know we didn't really touch on like health and I really wanted to, but everyone has your content. So
yes,
if you want to worry about bloating, if you want to do food combining, everything in the books, like everything, just go to Mona's YouTube or Instagram or TikTok. It'll all be linked in the description, but I'm going to give you a chance to shout out anything and everything that you'd like to shout out.
I guess the only thing right now that I would shout out is, TikTok is my main, TikTok is my main content right now. I'm putting out lots of useful, fun stuff. So it's at Mona Band.
Yes. And it's very, very engaging. So she'll be grocery shopping and she answers questions and I love it so much. So you should definitely
thank you so much.
Of course.
Mona, thank you again so much for coming. It was such an honor to be able to talk with you. And thank you guys so much for listening to another episode. This was truly one of the episodes. It was like one of the dream episodes that I had envisioned doing when I had first started the podcast. So it was truly such a dream to talk to Mona. So Mona, again, thank you so much for coming. And again, thank you guys so much for listening. Happy holidays, you guys. I cannot believe it's December. No different podcast cover this year, but just get excited for the new year. All right. With that, I'm going to leave you, but happy holidays. And I will talk to you next week for another episode. Bye.